You know, it always is like this. Let me tell you a story. In Panama, I've been going there since 1999 every year. And there was one family. I had done programs at their home many times. And joint family, the son, the daughter-in-law, everybody's living together in one house. And I could never get the son to sing. He'd always say, "No, Prabhu, I don't sing." So one time, we tried to do the program and there was no electricity. There was a big storm. So we had to do the program, the whole program, with candlelight. Finally, I got the guy to sing. And the guy wouldn't stop. He just kept going and going and going. And I was like, I'm not comparing you to him, but the idea was, he just got to break through that first time. Now, yes, Krishna Kumar Das?
Prabhu, I request Pinkini and all to sit with me and nothing prayer.
As you like, since you are the GBC here. Now, the next chanter, I want Yamini.
Okay.
But not now, just you have time to think.
I knew it was coming.
Oh, good. So, what is he saying?
Can I get a treat?
A special treat.
We'll see. We'll see. Okay, right now, I have, I want to read to you from the Uddhava Gita. Because in the Uddhava Gita, there is a chapter called The Three Modes of Material Nature. So let's read this chapter, Krishna speaking to Uddhava, and let's see what he says this time. We read, those of you who came early, or shall I say on time, we read the whole chapter of the Krishna Bhagavad Gita. So now we're going to read the Uddhava Gita's version of the three modes of material nature. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O best among men. So who's he speaking to? No. Uddhava. It's Uddhava. Please listen as I describe to you how the living entity attains a particular nature by association with individual material modes. Mind and sense control, tolerance, discrimination, sticking to one's prescribed duty, truthfulness, mercy, careful study of the past and future, satisfaction in any condition, generosity, renunciation of sense gratification, faith in the spiritual master, being embarrassed at improper action, charity, simplicity, humbleness, and satisfaction within oneself are qualities of the mode of goodness. As I read this, who comes to mind? Yudhisthira. This is a perfect description of the nature of Yudhisthira, which makes sense. Who is he the son of? He's the son of religion personified. Now, let's continue. Material desire, great endeavor, audacity, dissatisfaction, even in gain, false pride, praying for material advancement, considering oneself different and better than others, sense gratification, rash eagerness to fight, a fondness for hearing oneself praised, and tendency to ridicule others, advertising one's own prowess and justifying one's actions by one's strength are qualities of the mode of passion. You know who comes to mind? Duryodhan. As I read this. Now Krishna continues. Intolerant anger, stinginess, speaking without scriptural authority, violent hatred, living as a parasite, hypocrisy, chronic fatigue, quarrel, lamentation, delusion, unhappiness, depression, sleeping too much, false expectations, fear and laziness constitute the major qualities of the mode of ignorance. I hope you don't know anybody like this. I hope you don't know. Now, Uddhava, please hear about the combinations of these three modes. My dear Uddhava, the combination of all three modes is present in the mentality of I and mine. The ordinary transactions of this world, which are carried out through the agency of the mind, the objects of perception, the senses and the vital airs of the physical body, are also based on the combination of the modes. When a person devotes himself to religiosity, economic development, and sense gratification, the faith, wealth, and sensual enjoyment obtained by his endeavors display the interactions of the three modes of nature. When a man desires sense gratification, being attached to family life, and when he consequently becomes established in religious and occupational duties, the combination of the modes of nature is manifest. A person exhibiting qualities such as self-control is to be understood to be predominantly in the mode of goodness. Similarly, a passionate person is recognized by his lust, and one in ignorance is recognized by qualities such as anger. Any person, whether man or woman, who worships me, who's speaking? Who's speaking?
Krishna.
Krishna. Yes, we have to understand. So any man or woman who worships Krishna with loving devotion, offering his or her prescribed duties unto me without material attachment, is understood to be situated in goodness. I hope that's all of us. No? Manakshi, come on. When a person worships me by his prescribed duties with the hope of gaining material benefit, his nature should be understood to be in passion. And one who worships me with the desire to commit violence against others is in ignorance. For instance, that Vrikasura worshipped Lord Shiva. But what was his intention? I want the benediction that if I put my hand on somebody's head, their head will crack. And who was the first person he went after? The person who gave him the benediction. What a rascal. My God. And Prabhupada said the reason was because he wanted Lord Shiva's wife. What a sinful rascal. Unbelievable. All right, let's continue. The three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, influence the living entity, but not me. That's an important point. Because if I think that Krishna is influenced by the modes of nature, that makes me an atheist. That means I don't understand who is God. Kamlesha is always reminding me that in my preaching, I have to emphasize what is God, why God, who is God? Am I right, Kamlesh? So, Kamlesh is one of my coaches. Kamlesh is one of my preaching coaches. So, this is an important point. My understanding of God has to be this, that He can no way be influenced by the modes of nature. Even when he, dances with others' wives in the rasa dance. Correct? Even when Krishna seemingly does something wrong, it's still right. Alright. Manifesting within the mind, the modes induce the living entity to become attached to material bodies and other created objects. In this way, the living entity is bound up. Alright, we'll stop there. There's more, but we'll take a break there because there's a lot to speculate on and think about. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So we're continuing with this chapter of the three modes of nature. As found in the Uddhava Gita, Krishna is speaking. When the mode of goodness, which is luminous, pure and auspicious, predominates over passion and ignorance, a man becomes endowed with happiness, virtue, knowledge, and other good qualities. When the mode of passion, which causes attachment, separatism and activity, conquers ignorance and goodness, a man begins to work hard to acquire prestige and fortune. Thus, in the mode of passion, he experiences anxiety and struggle. When the mode of ignorance conquers passion and goodness, it covers one's consciousness and makes one foolish and dull. Falling into lamentation and illusion, a person in the mode of ignorance sleeps excessively, indulges in false hopes, and displays violence toward others. When consciousness becomes clear and the senses are detached from matter, one experiences fearlessness within the material body and detachment from the material mind. You should understand this situation to be the predominance of the mode of goodness, in which one has the opportunity to realize me. That's an important point. That it is virtually impossible to realize Krishna from the mode of passion or ignorance. Here Krishna is saying, but if you're in the mode of goodness, then it is possible to understand him or realize him from that plane. That's why we follow those four regulative principles. Those four regulative principles place one in the mode of goodness. If one cannot follow those four regulative principles, you're not in the mode of goodness. You're in the modes of passion and ignorance. So that four regulative principles is mandatory. It is essential if one wants to be in the mode of goodness and what to speak of, realize God. Let us continue. Krishna says, you should discern the mode of passion by its symptoms, namely, distortion of intelligence because of too much activity, the inability of the perceiving senses to disentangle themselves from mundane objects, an unhealthy condition of the working physical organs, and the unsteady perplexity of the mind. When one's higher awareness fails and finally disappears, and one is thus unable to concentrate his attention, his mind is ruined and manifests ignorance and depression. You should understand this situation to be the predominance of the mode of ignorance. With the increase of the mode of goodness, the strength of the demigods similarly increases. When passion increases, the demoniac becomes strong. And with the rise of ignorance, O Uddhava, the strength of the most wicked increases. You may recall when Ram was fighting a different Rakshasas, it was always pointed out he should kill them before sunset, before evening, because the demons and Rakshasas, with the mode of ignorance becoming prominent, they become very, very powerful. You see many times when Lord Vishnu is killing a demon, it's done at 12 noon, like that. Of course, in the case of Hiranyakashipu, it was sunset, like that. Let us continue. It should be understood that alert wakefulness comes from the mode of goodness, sleep with dreaming from the mode of passion, and deep dreamless sleep from the mode of ignorance. The fourth state of consciousness pervades these three and is transcendental. Learned persons dedicated to Vedic culture are elevated by the mode of goodness to higher and higher positions. The mode of ignorance, on the other hand, forces one to fall headfirst into lower and lower births. And by the mode of passion, one continues transmigrating through human bodies. Those who leave this world in the mode of goodness go to the heavenly planets. Those who pass away in the mode of passion remain in the world of human beings, and those dying in the mode of ignorance must go to hell. But those who are free from the influence of all modes of nature, where do they go? As Krishna says, they come to me. So who wants to go to Krishna? So you have to become free from the modes of nature. And that is exactly what we will learn in the 26th verse of the Bhagavad Gita chapter 14. Same thing. All right? Let's finish up. Work performed as an offering to me without consideration of the fruit is considered to be in the mode of goodness. Work performed with a desire to enjoy the results is in the mode of passion. And work impelled by violence and envy is in the mode of ignorance. Absolute knowledge is in the mode of goodness. Knowledge based on duality is in the mode of passion. And foolish, materialistic knowledge is in the mode of ignorance. Knowledge based upon me, however, is understood to be transcendental. So if we read Bhagavad Gita, is that knowledge concerning Krishna? Therefore, it is transcendental. Krishna continues, residence in the forest is in the mode of goodness. Residence in a town is in the mode of passion. Residence in a gambling house displays the quality of ignorance. What city comes to mind? Now what does Krishna say? And residence in the place where I reside is transcendental. So do all of you have Krishna in your homes?
Yes.
Then it should be transcendental. That's why, what is the name of this place?
Kundanloka.
Yes. That's why it's called Kundanloka. Kundanloka. We'll be fighting this for the next 50 years. All right. Krishna continues. A worker free of attachment is in the mode of goodness. A worker blinded by personal desire is in the mode of passion. And a worker who has completely forgotten how to tell right from wrong is in the mode of ignorance. But a worker who has taken shelter of me is understood to be transcendental to the modes of nature. All right, we'll stop there. There's a few more verses, but we'll stop there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm finishing up this chapter from the Uddhava Gita, the chapter Three Modes of Material Nature. Krishna continues. Faith directed towards spiritual life is in the mode of goodness. Faith rooted in fruitive work is in the mode of passion. Faith residing in irreligious activities is in the mode of ignorance. But faith in my devotional service is purely transcendental. Let's see what else Krishna says. Food that is wholesome, pure, and obtained without difficulty is in the mode of goodness. Food that gives immediate pleasure to the senses is in the mode of passion. And food that is unclean and causes distress is in the mode of ignorance. Happiness derived from the self is in the mode of goodness. Happiness based on sense gratification is in the mode of passion. And happiness based on delusion and degradation is in the mode of ignorance. But that happiness found within me is transcendental. Therefore, material substance, place, result of activity, time, knowledge, work, the performer of work, faith, state of consciousness, species of life, and destination after death are all based on the three modes of material nature. O Uddhava, O best of human beings, all states of material being are related to the interaction of the enjoying soul and material nature. Whether seen, heard of, or only conceived within the mind, they are without exception constituted of the modes of nature. O gentle Uddhava, all these different phases of conditional life arise from work born of the modes of material nature. The living entity who conquers these modes, manifested from the mind, can dedicate him or herself to me by the process of devotional service and thus attain pure love for me. Therefore, having achieved this human form of life, which allows one to develop full knowledge, those who are intelligent should free themselves from all contamination of the modes of nature and engage exclusively in loving service to me. A wise sage, free from all material association, who is unbewildered, should subdue the senses and worship me. One should conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by engaging only with things in the mode of goodness. That is very instructive for all of us. I'll repeat that part. One should conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by engaging only with things in the mode of goodness. Then, being fixed in devotional service, the sage should conquer the material mode of goodness by indifference toward the modes. Thus pacified within the mind, the spirit soul, freed from the modes of nature, gives up the very cause of conditioned life and attains me. Final verse. Freed from the subtle conditioning of the mind and from the modes of nature, born of material consciousness, the living entity becomes completely satisfied by experiencing my transcendental form. One no longer searches for enjoyment in the external energy, nor does one contemplate or remember such enjoyment within oneself. And that is the end of this chapter from the Uddhava Gita entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra, please.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare.
One more time.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
All right, we have a few minutes. And here on, you're leading the kirtan, right? All right, so we have a few minutes. Let's have some fun, like we did at Om's house. Shh, pay attention. All right. Let's see where we left off. All right. This person cursed Karna because Karna tried to trick him and deceive him. Parashuram. Very good. Very good. This child was born after the death of his father, and he became the heir to the throne of Yudhishthira. Parikshit. Very good. Let's see. Okay. This person is a disciple of Vyasadeva, and he was somebody's secretary and chariot driver.
Sanjay.
Very good. Who was he the secretary of? Dhritarashtra. Very good. Okay. This person became Arjuna's martial disciple. He was a close friend of Krishna. He fought on the side of the Pandavas at Kurukshetra and lived. He did not die in the battle of Kurukshetra. So who is he? Yes, Satyaki. Amazing. Krishna Kumar was right. Krishna Kumar told me, you guys know Mahabharata like you know your phone number. Very, very good. Okay. He is the brother of Gandhari.
Shakuni.
Yes. Very good. Now listen to this. Listen to this note. Shukuni is said to be an expansion of the deity presiding over the age of Dwarapar. That's hard to believe. Who killed Shukuni in the fight? Sahadev. Yes. How do you guys know this so well?
Because they watched your movie.
So the movie was that good, huh?
Yes.
All right. Okay, here we go. This person was supposed to marry Amba, and he got a big airplane from Lord Shiva, and Krishna killed him. Nope. He got an airplane from Lord Shiva. He was supposed to marry Amba. Who? Shalva. Krishna killed him with what weapon? Sudarshan Chakra. Okay, this person, let's see. He was the brother of Madri. He was tricked by Duryodhan. Even though he was a friend of the Pandavas, he was tricked by Duryodhan to fight against them. Was that? Shalya, yes. Shalya, very good. Who killed him in the battle? Very good. Okay, here's an easy one. Easy, easy, easy. No, it's easy. He is Bhishma's father from the mother Ganga. Shantanu. Why, it took you. Hey, you guys. You're slow on that one. Well, obviously it was difficult for you because it took you more than 2 seconds. All right. So, this was the person who was to kill Bhishma. Yes. Chikandi. Very good. Very good. Okay. Let's see about this one. This demon appeared 3 times. 3 times he was killed by Krishna. He was Hiranyakashipu, he was Ravana, and then he was Shishupal. You don't know Krishna book that well. You know Mahabharata. There we go. All right. Here we go. All right. This person was supposed to marry Duryodhan, but she was kidnapped by Arjuna.
Subhadra.
All right, we're over time. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. Let's all rise and worship the Supreme.